Next three segments, we are going to talk about the Quran, and we're going to debate it. And we've got our questions, and we've got our Quran here, and it'll be interesting to see and hear two different takes on this. Live in studio, we have Dr. Mahmoud Musa, who is the president of the Greater Lansing Islamic Center, and we have Mr. James Terpening via the phone. He is with the Operation Freedom's Tree. James, how are you?
Good this morning. How are you, Tony?
I'm doing very well. Dr. Musa, how are you?
Good to be here.
All right, thanks so much. James, before we get into it, tell us a little bit about Operations Freedom Tree. What are you and what's your focus?
Well, Operations Freedom Tree, we're, our focus is giving the power back to the people. It, you know, it's with the Terry Jones coming to our rally, it's kind of spurred into this anti-Islamic deal. Like I've said on your show before, I do believe that that Islam is evil, but that's not the focus of our group, and the main focus of our group is, you know, what the government's doing to us.
All right. Now, with Terry Jones coming in, and we've all heard him and seen him. As a matter of fact, I went to one of his group's gatherings. He was not there, but some of his supporters were there. And what they were talking about, what they were spewing, I wouldn't want my kids to hear. I thought it was very negative, condescending, and inappropriate dialogue to be presenting a counterpoint. What's your take on Dr. Jones' tactics?
Well, Tony, like I've said before, we live in a country that allows free speech, and as far as hearing stuff that you don't want your kids to hear, I see and hear stuff on TV that's regularly broadcast for free, not cable TV, you know, ABC, NBC all the time that I don't want my kids to see or hear either. So, you know, that's I guess that's the job of as parents, you know, to be careful what our kids listen to. So, you know, his speeches and conversations, those are geared towards, you know, adults that are able to comprehend what he is saying and either choose to listen or not listen.
Do we have to yell? Do we have to scream? Do we have to put down groups in condescending ways to get our points across?
Do we have to? No, I don't think so. Do people need that to listen? Yeah, possibly. I mean, it's not just Terry Jones that yells and screams. It's, you know, both sides of the table. You can, you know, tune on any news station and you hear people yelling and screaming. So,
Dr. Musa, I want your interpretation of Pastor Jones and his tactics.
Well, actually, the world now is becoming so small that anything happen here affects the whole world. Anything that happen overseas, any place, affects here and everywhere. First, let me state this. We actually, when we learned that Mr. Jones is coming to town, we extended an invitation for a meal, and you are very welcome to join us, Tony, if he agreed to do that. Oh. And our guest also is very welcome to attend.
All right, so you invited Mr. Terpening and Mr. Jones to dinner and for dialogue. Have they accepted?
Dialogue. Yeah, because, I mean, through dialogue, we can understand each other.
Have they accepted? Closer.
Nobody, no. Nobody has accepted yet.
All right, James, you're going to come to dinner?
Tony, I'm not against that, but I will say that I never got an invitation, and Terry never talked to me about it at all. So,
well, we invited, I mean, the press release we have, and we spoke to different media, and you are very welcome to come to a dinner. I mean, we need to sit together, know each other, because usually the myth makes a big misunderstanding. If we all know each other, let me ask really, have you seen a Muslim? Have you met a Muslim? Have you discussed with a Muslim before? Or what? Because, I mean, from my experience, really, once you know someone and once you build friendship, you build relationship.
And all right, James, have you sat down and broke bread with a Muslim before?
Sure, plenty of them, yes.
All right. Well, let's dive right into it. You said something a little earlier. You believe that Muslims are evil?
Correct.
All right. Elaborate.
Well, Tony, you know, and this is just, you know, we're going to go back to what we've talked to before, and I'm going to get right into the Quran here. And if a Muslim believer follows the Quran correctly, then there's nobody out there that can say that it's not evil. I mean, the teachings in the Quran, like I've said before, there's a lot of good stuff in there, and there's a lot of stuff about love and peace and all that. But there's also a lot of stuff in there about, you know, killing, kill the non-believers, and the way the orders were given, and the doctor will, you know, he got to agree with this, but the way the orders were given, they were given to follow the last order given, and the word was to be taken literally in the Quran. It wasn't written to be interpreted by somebody else, and it says in there in their own words, you know.
Do you mind quoting a verse and telling me where that verse is? Because usually people just keep saying things without really referring to the original reference in the Quran.
Okay.
The Quran, for example, says in one verse, do not approach the prayer.
How about verse 356 out of the Quran that says, as to those who reject faith, I will punish them with terrible agony in this world and the hereafter, nor will they have anyone to help them.
Well, which verse you said, so I can get to that, because I don't memorize the whole Quran. So tell me, so which chapter and which verse?
It's 356.
All right, while he's looking that up.
But which chapter? Because there is a chapter, there is a verse. So you're quoting the verse.
Chapter 3.
Chapter 3, okay.
While he's looking that up, James, I went to about.com. I tried to find a source on Islam and the Quran that weren't biased. And it says, aren't there some verses in the Quran that condone killing the infidel? And the question is, the answer is, the Quran commands Muslims to stick up for themselves in a defensive battle, i.e. if an army attacks, then Muslims are to fight against that army until they stop their aggression. All of the verses that speak out about fighting war in the Quran are in this context. Do you agree with that?
No, I don't. I mean, let me give you another verse, Tony, and you let me know if that falls within the context of what you just explained.
Can I get the verse number again? Because I'm not finding that verse. I don't know where you got it.
Chapter 3,
verse 56.
Okay.
Okay.
And the one I was just talking about, Tony, in the Bukhara, 52:177, it says, the hour will not be established until you fight with the Jews. And the stone behind which the Jews will be hiding will say, O Muslim, there is a Jew hiding behind me, so kill him. Does that sound like a defensive tactic?
And Dr. Musa, talk about the Jewish people and Muslims. There's an animosity there which seems to be seated on the Muslim side. The Israelites, just the people of Israel want to live. And we keep seeing and hearing that Muslims are against that. Talk about that.
Well, let me say this. The Muslim have been there now, or Islam has been around for 1,400 years, 1,432 actually. And minorities of Christians and Jews have lived there until now. I mean, they have not been eradicated. They have been actually granted to live with full protection, and their places of worship stay there. If we go with the attitude that people are taking now, I mean, if that was the attitude of Muslims, there would be no single Christian or Jew living in that area for 1,400 years. And let me give you that example. You probably may be aware of it. When Umar, the caliph of the second caliph of Islam or Muslims, when he visited Jerusalem, and they gave him the key for Jerusalem, the patriarch invited him to sit his prayer inside the church. But he refused. He said, if I do that, then later on my followers may come and say, well, the caliph established a prayer here and we have to do it. So he refused to sit his prayer inside the church in respect and in full respect to them and to protect their rights. And Islam has granted life for non-believers, if you want to use that term as you described earlier, and non-Muslims, I would say, to live there with, I mean, like in Iraq, there are so many religions. If we go to Israel and the Palestinian, I would ask a simple question. Who is killing more, the Palestinian or the Israelis? I'm not in support of killing on either side, but look at the situation. When you have heat, the heat, I mean, burns everybody.
But it appears that the Muslim radicals are on the offense and that the people of Israel are on the defense. They just want a piece of land and they want to live, and they're not going to not fight back. Would you agree or disagree with that?
I disagree with that, basically because the Israelis have a full army of airplanes and tanks and all that. The Palestinians are living in a big prison. I mean, they don't have any, even use a boycott against the Gaza for now. People cannot find the medicine. Children are dying. So if we look at the situation in a balanced manner and try to balance between, justice is very important in Islam. The concept of justice is so important. If you really want to establish peace, it has to be established on full justice.
All right, we've got to go to break. Now, James, what I'm going to do is we're going to put you on hold. We're going to go to break, and I want Dr. Musa to find those two passages and address them, because from what you were saying from those passages, and he needs to address those.